Dear ones, for this evening's reading, I desire that we return and read from the book of Numbers, chapter number 22. Numbers chapter 22. I'd like to read with God's help. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because there were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, "Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field." And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, "Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed." And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam, and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, "Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me." And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, "What men are these with thee?" And Balaam said unto God, "Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, 'Behold, there's a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out.'" And God said unto Balaam, "Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, "Get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you." And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, "Balaam refuseth to come with us." And Balak sent yet again princesses more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people." And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, "If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more." And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, "If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do." And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in the narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when Yas saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee." And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee?" And he said, "Nay." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and a sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive." And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again." And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, "Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak." So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. I'd like to... So, dear ones, we had a reference to Balaam this past Sunday, and we read in 2 Peter 2:15, it spoke of Balaam, one who had loved the wages of unrighteousness. And so we pick up just it prompted me to read this story of Balaam and his donkey, and even the following chapters, which would be too lengthy to read together here, but I would urge each of us to read this story to its completion and what God had done with Balaam and with Balak. But in this chapter, as we think about Balaam, he is actually, if we look at him, a rather confusing figure in the scriptures. The scriptures names thousands of individuals by name, and we are given a very detailed accounts of their lives, what they had lived and how they had died. Many we see as saints. We see those who died in sin. We see those who were condemned. We see those who apostatized. And Balaam would be one of those figures in the scriptures that is actually confusing to us in a way, such as if we read of Samson, we see one who was connected to God and yet had done things completely opposite of what the will of God is. We don't need to look any further than in the New Testament than Judas, one who had walked with God as his disciple. He was with him and witnessed many a great miracle, and no one in the circle looked at Judas or Judah and said that he had apostatized or that he had gone astray. He was undetected by the fellow disciples with him entirely. And we can even look in the New Testament further and see men like Ananias and his wife Sapphira. We can look at Demas, one who Paul says that he left the ministry. He left Paul. And it tells us that why? Now this is something that, you know, we look at Balaam and we get really confused, because how is this possible that this man is going to prophesy? He's going to prophesy about Israel things that the prophets themselves were the greatest of the prophets were going to speak. He spoke things of in the following chapters of exaltation and justification and salvation. He spoke of these things, and even the prophet Micah brings up these things. Until Apostle Paul came and Peter and preached these words that are attributed to Balaam are, if we just read them in Micah 6, it says, "Oh, my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted." Okay, so he is consulting Balaam, and it said, "Listen to what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him." And he goes on, he says, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with ten thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" And then he goes on, he has showed you. This is Balaam speaking of salvation. It says, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." This is salvation being preached by Balaam, who, in whenever he is spoken of in the New Testament, we read about him in Peter last week. We can read about him in the book of Revelation. We can read about him in the book of Jude. It's always about an apostasy. So here is a man who had known God, and he had apostatized. He wasn't an Israelite. He was not of the commonwealth of Israel. The promises that God made to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob did not pertain to this man. But God had revealed himself to him. It doesn't give us the full details of how and when God spoke to Balaam, but we know he did. We know he did. And the Bible tells us that Balaam does come from the land of Abraham. So was it that through that the story of God came to him and Balaam looked into this? God had revealed himself to him. He spoke to him. His spirit was with him. We see that. But yet we also see what we see in the disciple that had forsaken Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. We see him. We see a man who is covetous. He likes money. He likes money. And he likes it a lot. And so does he see what he is doing here? And we see in this amazing chapter, really, of what is taking place. And I know that people say, can that really be that the donkey actually spoke? Well, why is it an amazing thing to think that God could make a donkey speak? If he can make a donkey, he can make the donkey speak, just like he can make Balaam speak. It was no harder for him to make the donkey speak. And so we see here that the king of Moab was extremely, Balak was extremely afraid of Israel because of what he had witnessed. They just destroyed the Amorites, and they were coming around to come in and camped around his land, and he's terrified of this people. And so it tells us here that he asked for Balaam. He knows about Balaam. He was a prophet and he was a soothsayer. And he asks that he would come, and so he sends people out to meet him, as we read. And he says, come and curse this people this day, for they are too mighty for me. And so if you curse them, he says, then I can defeat them and drive them out of here, because he felt threatened by them. And it's very interesting to see how Balaam responds to this. And Balaam's response, because God came unto Balaam and said, what are these men with thee? So God knows, but he's asking Balaam to answer him, to enter into this conversation with him. Balaam says, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me. And he tells him there's a people come out of Egypt. And he's asking me to curse them. And so God tells Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people. They are blessed. You cannot curse someone who is blessed by God. Can't do it. And so Balaam responds in the exact way in which God tells him. He says, Balaam rises up in the morning, goes and tells them, go back to your land. The Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And it stopped right there. It was over. They left. He did what he was told. We don't know his heart. God does. But Balaam had a heart that loved money. Because it tells us in the Bible that he was a covetous man. And it tells us here that the princes go back to Balak, and Balak is told, and he sends another company of people back with him to sweeten the deal. And this is where I believe that Balaam had sinned. Because God told Balaam, you will not go with them. And he said, God did not give me a leave. God said no. And so, how do we look into our own lives as we live our lives in a day-to-day basis? Okay, we are an enlightened people, just as Balaam was. Balaam was enlightened. Balaam knew the ways of God. Balaam could not have preached and prophesied about the children of Israel and preached salvation unless he knew the ways of God. God had revealed those things unto him, as he has unto every one of us that are in this room. So if we look at Balaam and say, well, how could he have done this? Because God told him, right? We say that. What was he thinking? God told him, don't go. What was he thinking? Well, what do we think? What do we think when we know not to go, not to do, not to act in a way, and so on? What do? When we do it, we know God has revealed himself to us. He revealed his will unto us. Are we going to push the boundaries? Well, Balaam did. So now Balaam's going back. Okay, hey, you know, these people are back. But God told him no. But he said the people are back. And Balaam answers and says unto the servants, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold. Well, he was never told you're going to get a house full of silver and gold. But we see what's on his heart, what's on his mind, silver and gold. He said, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. But he says, but stick around. Stick around. I'm going to go back to God and see maybe he changed his mind. Well, God let him do it. God was going to show him in another way of his sovereign rule, of his might. And so he permitted Balaam to go. And it tells us then the story how Balaam gets up, saddled his ass. The same ass that the ass tells him, the donkey tells him, am I not the same one that takes you everywhere you needed to go? I've been with you. I've been a faithful servant of yours. This is a donkey speaking to him. Later we read that. But here he saddles him, but it tells us God's anger was kindled. So we can ask ourselves, why is God's anger kindled in verse number 22? But in the previous verses here, he says in verse 20, he says, go with them. And because he went, his anger was kindled. Well, he told him, don't go. He revealed his will to him. So now he told him, go ahead, go. And I'm still going to interrupt you in a way that you don't know yet, but I will show you my ways again, yet again. And so it tells us here that, as we read, the angel of the Lord comes and stands in front of the donkey. And the donkey is terrified. But the eyes of Balaam do not see him. And why don't the eyes of Balaam see the donkey? Why don't our eyes sometimes see what is clearly danger for us? When we become blinded by a pursuit, as Balaam is blinded by a pursuit, so he is unable to see. God took that sight away from him. He couldn't see what he let the donkey see. And the donkey stops and swerves out of the way. And what does he do? He beats his donkey. So this shows you the heart of this man. You're not going to beat your donkey. He beats him. And the angel stands again in the path. Again, the donkey stops. Again, he gets beaten. Again, he goes out. And this time, it tells us that the donkey's so afraid, he's got nowhere to go, he drops down. He sits down on the ground with Balaam still on top of him, riding him. And he beats him again. And it tells us God opens the mouth of the donkey. Why is that hard to believe? God opens the mouth of the donkey and tells him, and the donkey says, what have I done to thee that thou smitest me these three times? So he's having and he's answering him. He's answering his donkey. He's talking to his donkey. And that's not alarming to him. He's answering him. Because thou hast mocked me. And if I had a sword with me, I'd kill you. He tells the donkey. He's so blinded in his pursuit that he can't even realize what is taking place right here. God still doesn't let him see the angel. And then when the donkey responds to him, am I not thine ass? Am I not yours? You know, upon which you've ridden ever since I was yours, unto this day you've ridden me. And was I ever wont to do so unto? Did I ever buck at you, try to hurt you, do anything bad to you? And he said, no. And that's when the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel. The angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword was drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. This is in front of an angel. Balaam is now face to face with an angel of God, and he's terrified. And it tells us here that the angel questions him, "Why did you smite your ass three times?" He goes, "I withstood him because your way is perverse to me." And if we look at this, if we look at this account here, dear ones, this isn't for us to just read and even perhaps chuckle at it. Oh, donkey's talking. Wow, that would be terrifying to see this, or to have a donkey speak to you and have a conversation with it. And so what is this lesson to us today? Balaam loved the way of unrighteousness. It tells us here in the following chapter what Balaam desired. And I know that every one of us in here desire this exact same thing. Now, who is this that's desiring this? One who is opposing the will of God, who knows his will and is in opposition to it. He loves the Lord. He looks for his answer, but he follows through and justifies his ways, what he's going to do. And so he justified himself, but this is what Balaam wants. It's what you and I want. He says, "Let me die the death of the righteous." Do you want to die the death of the righteous? Peter, Paul, Stephen, they died the death of a righteous. And it says, "And let my last end," let the very last end of me, "be like his," the righteous one. This is what Balaam wanted. He desired that. He did. And I believe every one of us desires the exact same thing. So then we ask ourselves, if we read the story, well, then why did Balaam not listen to God? Well, the same reason we don't listen to God. Why do we exclude ourselves oftentimes in our own observation of our own life, in our own ways, but so easily look at Balaam and say, "How could he do this?" I desire to die. He wanted to die the death of a righteous man, but he didn't want to live the life of a righteous man. He wanted the end, because he knows what Apostle Paul said. He knew this too. When Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain," that's the death that he wanted, the death of gain, because he apostatized, and in his apostasy, he dies a death of loss. He loses everything. Everything, all that gold and silver, the house full of gold and silver, everything that he wanted, that he desired, that he pursued, that he went after, beat his donkey for, to go and to get what he wanted, he lost it all. There was no gain in death. There is for a righteous man, though. And that's something that we have to pray to God to have him reveal to us this gain that awaits the death of a righteous man. The one who lived a righteous life. We see those examples. What is the end of Demas? You know, what is it? Many will say, well, he just lost his rewards. He was a Christian, but he lost his rewards. Paul says he loved this world more. That means that the world was an idol to him. You can't, and Jesus says, you will love one and hate the other. So that means in his love for the world, he hated the Lord Jesus. We would say, well, Balaam doesn't hate the Lord. Well, he does. He does. Because he doesn't want to live the life of a righteous man. which means that he is in opposition to God. He is at odds with him. Are you and I at odds with God? Imagine. Now, here's an angel that stands in front of Balaam and the donkey, and Balaam falls down in flat on his face before him, bows his head and falls on his face before him. Stand before God, the Creator. As an apostate. That's what the Bible tells us. The end of Balaam was. What does Balaam do in the end? The book of Revelations tells us, and we can read that. He says, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So Balaam goes with the people, and he goes, and he prophesies. And he prophesies beautiful things. Read them in the following chapters. Read them. And then Balak is wroth at the things that he's saying about Israel. And so what does Balaam do? He had to speak the word of God. He couldn't go against God. He couldn't do it. He had to speak those words that were given to him to speak. Because God said, those whom I've blessed, you cannot curse. He was unable to do that. God didn't permit him to. But when he sees Balak is wroth, what does he tell him? A king. Well, maybe you can't fight them and beat the Israelites with your men of war, but seduce them with your women. Let's go down there with them, mingle with them. Seduce them. Mix them up a little bit. Confuse them. And that's exactly what happened. And we see idolatry coming into Israel's camp. And this is Balaam, who spoke such beautiful, wonderful things, ends up in the pit of hell, who prophesied, who spoke of salvation, who understood there's nothing you can give for your soul. Nothing. It's not for purchase. It's not for purchasing. You and I are called to take on by Jesus, take on the cross. Carry the cross. I will shoulder that burden for you, he says. For my burden is light, he said. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I'll make it easy for you. The Lord promises us that. Do our eyes get taken off of our, what we know to be true, as Balaam knew. We have to keep in mind, Balaam knew. Not an Israelite, but he knew. Every one of us here who has an understanding, who's not a child, knows what sin is and knows that the only way to live a life of the righteous is to forsake sin. And in that forsaking of sin, you're turning to God. Or turning to God, you're forsaking sin. We all know that. Why does sin entice us? Whatever form it may be in. Whatever it may be in. Do we not see the angel of the Lord before us stopping us? Do we get stopped at times in certain activities and thoughts and what we're going to do, and it just cannot happen? And then we realize, or do we realize, that it's the hand of God that's keeping us, watching over us? Are we still going to be headstrong and just keep wanting what we want? Fit in with the world, fit in with this, fit in with that. God understands. And forsaking his ways. All Balaam told the king is just, you can't beat them, join them. And that's what the devil is trying to blind us with, those very thoughts. You can't beat them, join them. What does it avail? What did it avail Balaam to preach such beautiful words of salvation? And he lost his own soul. A soul that outlives the sun and the moon and the stars goes on and on. He lost it. Over what? Over what? He can't enjoy those things. He lost it all. He lost it all. He gained nothing. The gain is Christ. It's all in him. And so let's not take our eyes off of him. He is everything. And so when we look upon him, dear ones, and we know what he has laid out, the way of salvation that he has laid out for us. We sing a hymn, right? You know the way which he has marked so clearly. The way of self-denial. You know that. I know that. You know it so clearly marked out. Are you going to lose or are you going to gain in death? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Let's think about that thought of Balaam and know that our thoughts are lined up with that. And this is, I believe, in Hebrews 10. I'll just close with a few verses here. Speaking about Balaam and speaking about anyone else. It says, if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. Balaam received the knowledge of the truth. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. Balaam saw the angel and fell flat on his face. But there's a fearful looking forward of a judgment and a fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. And it says here, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he is sanctified. The blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. An unholy thing. And hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. What is doing despite to the Spirit of grace? Disobedience. That's it. It's disobedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. He saw you cannot give the blood of the bulls and the rams and the sacrifice and nothing. It's obedience. It's better than sacrifice. The Lord wants us to love him, to obey him, only because his love for us is such that he gave his life for us and he desires for us to be with him in eternity. And it can only be done through submission unto him and obedience unto him perfectly. Perfectly. And then we live and die the life of a righteous man. To live is Christ. Christ is mine. To die is gain. What do I gain? Christ. May he bless his word upon our hearts this evening. Amen.
The Bible says that no man can serve two masters. We cannot serve God and mammon. The Bible says that Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness. That's where his heart was. And so we cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot serve two masters. We need to be separate. And that's what the Bible here is calling us to. So I'd like to just close with some verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Of speaking of being separate from the world and being and serving God alone. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, as he was speaking of the children of Israel. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. May he bless his word to his people. Amen.